Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the studios of KSFR, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, and podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I'd like now to welcome Tom O'Connor. He is the director, the music director of Santa Fe Pro Musica here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
And it's always nice on Christmas Eve to play Christmas music, so that's what we're going to do today, all from Santa Fe Pro Musica's Baroque Christmas. Now, you do a very wonderful Christmas program every year. How do you decide what music you're going to play?
Well, we have basically come up with a format for these concerts. We do 10 of them between the 19th and through Christmas Eve. And the idea basically is to mix instrumental music, some with a holiday connection and some not, just basically Baroque chamber music. And we mix that together with a set of carols that we do at the very end of the program, which we draw from the Oxford Book of Carols. And we orchestrate them for our Baroque ensemble and have two wonderful soloists who are singing with us this year, Catherine Mueller and Eleanor Ranney. And they alternate. I learned from experience that when you're dealing with solo singers, especially at this time of year, they can get sick, and so you need two. So we do the same repertoire with both singers, but we alternate so that we have a little measure of security in case somebody does get sick. And the Oxford Book of Carols is really full of carols that people may be familiar with them, but they have not really sort of made it into the elevators of America during this time of year. You're not going to hear Jingle Bells at a Santa Fe Pro Musica concert or Here Comes Santa Claus or anything like that. But these are basically carols that come from the 15th and 16th century and have a really a deep spiritual connection with this time of year. And they're particularly beautiful in Loretto Chapel.
Some of those carols have carried over into the present day.
Some have. However, it's really the sound of the Renaissance and the sound of the early Baroque that these carols really capture, and so that's really what we're after. We are really striving to create an atmosphere that is really much different than the sort of typical holiday cheer that we are kind of bombarded with here at this time of year.
It does get tiresome. And it's mm-hmm. a shame because I remember being a little child and loving it when Christmas uh-huh. came around every year and have come to really not like it so much just because of the inundation of like from November 1st and, you know, uh-huh. to Christmas time.
Right.
Incessant, repetitious, and often pretty annoying Christmas music.
Yeah. And really, I mean, we are Santa Fe Pro Musica is a group that is organized to play chamber music and music for small orchestras. So we play chamber music in Loretto Chapel. It's with on period instruments. These are instruments that are either were made in the 17th or 18th century or are copies of instruments that were made at that time. And it is a fantastic venue for period instruments. It's a very intimate space. It's a live space. And that's really the kind of sound that you want with period instruments because those instruments were designed to play in smaller spaces, not in big auditoriums. They were designed to play in spaces that are basically fairly live. And it's about the blend, the way the instruments blend together. And so we try to create an old world atmosphere in one of New Mexico's most special old world places, the historic Loretto Chapel, and give something to people that is really, really very special and not something that you're going to hear anywhere else.
So the first piece we're going to play is Arcangelo Corelli.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about who Corelli was and this Christmas concerto.
Well, you know, one of the great things of about Baroque music from Italy in the 17th and 18th century is that this is really where the violin family was developed. All the famous instrument makers were in this one little village of Cremona, and it was an incredible confluence of makers cultures like Guarneri and Stradivari and Amati. And these families really worked in a way in collaboration with composers like Corelli, who was also a violinist, like Tartini, another violinist, and of course probably the most well-known and beloved of Italian composers from this time, Antonio Vivaldi. And so it was a real confluence of makers and of composers and of performers, and it was the flowering of instrumental music. Prior to the 17th century, we had what was called first practice, and first practice was all about the words, and it was about vocal music. And if you want to go all the way back, you can start with Gregorian chant, with a single line of chant. Right. And but by the time you get to the 17th century, we're in the age of instrumental music, and instrumental music without any vocal connection is going to become the most important music in Europe going forward. And in fact, with all due respect to opera, instrumental music still is the cat's meow. Corelli, what we have on tap for today is the Corelli Christmas Concerto. It's a concerto grosso. It's a form of concerto that has, instead of a single soloist, it has two soloists in it, which are the two violins, and it's a dialogue in the best Baroque tradition. And this is really one of the outstanding concertos from the 17th century.
So here is Corelli's Christmas Concerto.
Thank you.
And we're back with Tom O'Connor, music director of Santa Fe Pro Musica, and we just heard Arcangelo Corelli's Christmas Concerto. And we're going to move now to Pergolesi. Who was Pergolesi?
Well, Pergolesi is another Italian composer, and very unfortunate that his life was cut short at 26 years.
Good heavens.
He is very well known for an opera he wrote, La Serva Padrona. He was a very facile composer for such a young person. And so what we have on tap for today is a flute concerto in G major. The soloist is Carol Redman, and it's the Santa Fe Pro Musical Baroque Ensemble, Stephen Redfield, Richard Hsu, Heidi Powell, Chase Morrison, and Susan Patrick. And these are period instruments, which means that the violins are strung with gut strings, played with Baroque bows, and the flute that Miss Redman is playing is a one-key Baroque flute.
What do you mean by one key?
It has only one key. It has it's unlike the modern flute, which has about 20 or more keys.
There's one little thing that goes up and down that you press your finger on?
Right. For the little, there's one key. Everything else is holes like you would have on a recorder.
No key work
at all.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so what does it give you to use period instruments? It's a different sound. It's a different feeling.
It's a very much of a different sound. And as I said before, the instruments were really designed to blend together. They were played typically in much smaller rooms than we are accustomed to today, and typically in rooms that were very, very live. And the instrument that was really kind of the predecessor of the flute, which is its Baroque name is the flauto traverso, or the side-blown flute. And the instrument that was dominant before that was the recorder, which is also a flute. And it's the flute à bec, and it has the bec is the beak that you blow into, and it's an instrument that is vertical as opposed to the traverso, which is played horizontally, and it's more like blowing across the top of a Coke bottle. It was an invention, really, of the French, or an evolution that the French engineered in the middle of the 17th century. And it's a much more, in a way, a much more sophisticated instrument than the recorder. The recorder, we all know, with this really very chirpy kind of happy, bright sound. It was a popular instrument in Italy. But in France, they developed the traverso, which is a much more soulful instrument. And it is the development of the traverso over the next couple of hundred years that gives us what we know today as the modern flute.
Which has more, I guess, dynamic range and therefore emotional range.
It does. The recorder's on or off. Yeah, you can alter the dynamics, the volume, with different fingerings, but basically you're either playing it or you're not.
Right.
The traverso, on the other hand, has a dynamic range that you won't get with a recorder. And it has a more complex sound than the recorder. And so it works especially well in combination with gut string violins and violas and cellos.
We were talking about, at the beginning, you were talking about how there was this moment or evolution from vocal music to instrumental music.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a gigantic revolution for listeners of music.
It is a gigantic revolution, and the Baroque period, how popular would the Baroque period be without Baroque instrumental music? How popular would the Baroque be without Vivaldi and the Four Seasons? And during the 150 years or so that we kind of arbitrarily say is the Baroque period, from 1600 to about 1750, instrumental music really takes off. And so you think of some of the landmarks like the Bach Brandenburg Concertos or the Bach solo cello suites, which we just presented in Loretto Chapel a couple of weeks ago. These are pieces that wouldn't have existed if the first practice had remained the dominant form, which is, and again, first practice was about the words. And by the time we get to the end of the 18th century, we're into now it's the second practice, and the dominant theme in second practice is melody.
Is there a third practice?
We're in the third practice now, but I think you have to have historical perspective to actually look back. And now we're probably still in the age of melody more than in the age of words. even many vocalists are more concerned about the sound of their voice than they are about the words, which is unfortunate because if you're singing, you should be concerned with the words.
Well, and in popular music, there's perhaps concern with the words, although, I mean, you don't even have to know what they are to like the song, with the possible exception of Bob Dylan.
That's right. That's right.
So let's listen to the Concerto in G Major for Flute and Strings by Giovanni Battista Pergolesi.
Thank you.
And that was Giovanni Battista Pergolesi's Concerto in G Major for Flute and Strings. It's our Christmas Eve show and all music with Santa Fe Pro Musica. We're with the music director, Tom O'Connor. And the disc that we're listening to is called A Baroque Christmas Live from the Loreto Chapel. So that's a nice place to play music.
It's a great place, and it's a great place this time of year. This is a concert that many people come to. It's sort of their one exposure to classical music, and they round up all their kids, and they may be traveling to Santa Fe and staying here because it is such a fantastic place to be during the holidays. It's, you know, we live in a little magical little city here.
Yeah, very beautiful in
it's
the winter.
It's very beautiful. And when we have snow like we do this year, it's just it's hard to beat it. It's really great. And Loreto is a wonderful place to hear this music. It's decorated and it's very festive and old world. You know, it transports you to another time, and that's really what we're trying to do.
And especially with the period instruments and the Baroque music. And it's, you know, you say people round up their kids and bring them in. It's the one time they do a classical music event per year. There is, I think, for many people who love classical music but who aren't musicians, who don't make their profession in as you do, there's this moment, I remember when mine was, when I was 16 years old, where you hear something and a switch inside of you goes on and you're hooked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you hear something really good and you're receptive, sometimes you're receptive, you don't even know it. You know, you're just caught unawares.
You've been hearing it all your life, and your parents have been dragging you to this and that, and they've been playing it, and you go, yeah, whatever, and you put on the Beatles, and then suddenly something else. How was that for you? Have you been into music since you were a small child?
I was, because my mother is a violinist, and it was music education for all of her kids was extremely important, and so it was something that she really spared no expense and no amount of effort to make sure that we were educated as best as we possibly could out here in the Tules of New Mexico. And
you grew up in New Mexico?
I did. Yeah, I was born in Boston, but I grew up out here and spent most of my life in New Mexico. And so, for her, it was really just extremely important, and I took to it. Of my three siblings, I'm the one that really got the bug bad, and haven't been able to shake it. So,
What instrument did you grow up playing?
I'm an oboist, and I started actually playing clarinet when I was probably 8 or 10, something like that. And I switched to oboe a couple years after that, and was a modern oboist through most of my career, and in my 40s, I got the itch to play Baroque oboe, and to I'd always been attracted to Baroque music, but I really became captivated with the sound of Baroque ensembles and how they were much different than modern instrument ensembles playing Baroque music. It's just not the same thing at all. It's like a language being spoken with a bad accent to hear it on modern instruments.
Interesting.
It's not very satisfying. And so,
well, some people, I mean, there's probably a lot of debate in the music community about whether it's satisfying or not.
Well, there's some debate, but it's really one of the most important movements that's happened in the 20th century, and that there's scarcely a group anywhere in the world that hasn't been influenced by performances of Baroque and classical music on period instruments. I mean, it really is. It's transformed the way that people listen to music, and
probably created a whole industry of period instruments.
Well, it has. I'd say it's a cottage industry in the United States. We don't have the kind of support and the structure that European countries have, and so it. It's a much bigger industry in Europe than it is in the United States. It tends to be little pockets like San Francisco and Santa Fe and somewhat in New York and Boston, and you don't find it everywhere. And the opportunities for musicians to make a living playing Baroque instruments in the United States is really much more limited than it is in Europe.
We're going to play now a piece by William Laws. Who's William Laws, and is this a concert? Is this a Christmas concert piece?
This is a piece that is early, early, early in the Baroque period. And Laws was an English composer. And what you're going to hear in this piece is a very, very strong sense of where music was before the Baroque period. This piece has a very, very strong Renaissance kind of feeling to it. And it's for two violins and continuo, which is organ and cello. And
why is it called continuo?
Well, it's the basso continuo is the term that is used to describe the group of instruments that plays the bass line in a Baroque piece.
And it has to do with continuity?
Well, it's continuous. It's the continuous bass, basso continuo. It is throughout the piece, okay? And it describes not an instrument, but it describes a group of instruments that play the bass line. So typically, you would have a keyboard instrument. It might be a harpsichord, or it might be an organ. And you would have a reinforcing instrument, which plays the bass line, which is in the left hand of the keyboard part. This reinforcing instrument plays that bass line also. But it's going to be a melodic instrument, like a bassoon, or a cello, or a viola da gamba, or it could be a plucked instrument like a harp or a lute or a theorbo, which is a type of lute. And these instruments collectively play what we call the basso continuo, or the continuous bass.
Is the piece we're going to hear a specifically Christmas composed piece?
No, it's not. But if you play it, when you play it, I think you'll agree that it is absolutely perfect for this time of year, and perfect for what we try to get across, which is, again, to transport you to another place and another time, and to try in a abstract way to emphasize what should be a spiritual time.
So we're going to hear now William Law's Consort Set number 1.
Thank you.
So that was William Law's Consort Set Number 1, and we only had time to play the first movement of that. Tom O'Connor is music director of Santa Fe Pro Musica. Thank you so much for being with us and playing this some Christmas, some Baroque, not exactly Christmas music here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Mary Charlotte.
And to all of our friends out there. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz. Broadcasting from the studios of KSFR, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all of you. Hasta la vista. Ciao.